Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was
sleeping. I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I forgot my brain shut off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Come to the Brink. I'm Zoe Flowers, and this is a space for those of us navigating profound life changes like loss, trauma, caregiving, and transformation. It's about what happens when everything you thought was solid crumbles beneath you and you're forced to rebuild. If you've ever felt like you're standing on the brink, this is the space for you. Welcome.
Psychically, we become used to the shocks aimed at our wild natures. We adapt to violence against the psyche's knowing nature. We try to be good while normalizing the abnormal. As a result, we lose our power to flee. We lose our power to lobby for the elements of soul and life we find most valuable. When we are obsessed with the red shoes, all kinds of important personal, cultural, and environmental matters fall by the wayside. There is such loss of meaning when one gives up the life made by hand that all manner of injuries to psyche, nature, culture, family, and so forth are then allowed to occur. The harm to nature is co-committant with the stunning of the psyche of humans. They are not and cannot be seen as separate from one another. When one group talks about how wrong the wild is, and the other group argues that the wild has been wronged, something is drastically wrong. In the instinctive psyche, the wild woman looks out to the forest and sees a home for herself and all humans. Yet others may look at the same forest and imagine it barren of trees and their pockets bursting with money. These represent serious splits in the ability to live and let live so that we all can live. Welcome back to The Brink. I am Zoe Flowers, and we are still reading from Women Who Run With the Wolves by Dr. Clarissa Pinkola Estes. And I feel like that entry is perfect for our guest. For those of you all who this may be your first time listening, I do not pick the reading until the guest comes on the call, and basically close my eyes and just flip to a section and read, and they all just perfectly align.
For sure.
So my guest is Dr. Reverend Sandy, an author, TV, radio personality, life coach, Reiki master, teacher, corporate trainer, master gardener, energy medicine practitioner, community organizer, and someone who has been on the front lines of healing and transformation since 1961. Born and raised in Watts, California, Sandy has lived through more than most. She survived two of the most explosive uprisings in this country's history, the Watts Rebellion in the 1960s and the Rodney King Uprising in 1992. And both times, her home, her business, her life were touched by the flames. But Sandy didn't just survive. She grew, she taught, she healed, and she's still healing. She's someone who understands the connection between soil and spirit, between food and freedom, between grief and generational patterns that we often carry without even knowing it. This conversation is a conversation about trauma, but it's more about wisdom and remembrance and the power of our elders that know how to walk through many things. And this is a space where we gather in truth, where we talk about grief that lingers in the moments that shape us and the sacred tools that bring us back to ourselves. So I couldn't think of anyone better to talk to than Reverend Sandy, who I've known for a very long time
Yes.
and has been dropping jewels for the decades that I have known her. So thank you for being here.
It is my honor. Thank you for inviting me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I know. We've been out here. We've been out here in the world, writing and doing all types of things. So
Sure.
yeah. I'd love to hear, because I don't think I've really heard your origin story. Little Sandy growing up in Watts. What was little Sandy like?
Thank you again, Zoe, for having me as a guest today. I love giving what I can to help someone else. So this is just a golden opportunity for me to do that. When, as you read, Women That Run with the Wolves, man, it just brought back so much for me because I remember our very first, or my very first beginnings in Watts was in a housing project that had been created for military veterans and their families. But it was such a negatively impacted community because, of course, in those days, the whole strength of power was to keep the other person down. And so it was, we lived in a ghetto. We didn't have the sense, the brain power, the intelligence that others had. And then, all the other labels and restrictions that they were placed on us. And so as I thought that, as you were reading, I was like, man, this really has been a walk in faith. Because how do you come from that, right? How do you come from the ghetto, the projects, the belittling of your personhood, and be able to stand and to bring other people along with you? And that takes a lot. And so I was 10, my brother was 12, and we chose to create an organization called Student Committee for Improvement in Watts. And at first, it was just a thought between he and I. And then we start bringing in our friends and neighbors up and down the street and family members. And we had a problem finding a sponsor. Believe it or not, back in 61, the melanated teachers and leaders in our community would not jeopardize their job, their livelihood, to lead a bunch of little rugrats.
But first of all, you was 10 and
Yes.
he was 12,
Right.
and y'all were having a conversation about the state of Watts. Is
Yes,
that
ma'am.
your neighborhood? Wow.
It was run down, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, They had the business owners, if they if their business wasn't successful, then they just boarded it up and left. Or the homes, of the elders particularly, weren't kept up because they couldn't afford it. So, it was situations like that that we looked at and said, okay, it's time for us to come in and lend a helping hand, and now let's do something to help out. So, eventually we found Sue Welsh. I still love her to this day, and she always calls herself our Irish sister. And she stood by us, man. She would come through watch all time of the night, all midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever was needed, she was there. She had no fears because she felt and she knew in her heart of hearts that she was doing God's work. And so to be of assistance to us, she always tells us, like, I learned more from you. I received more of a gift from you than you would have ever received from me. So, and like I said, what is this? 64 years later, we're still bonded. We still keep in contact with one another. She knows about each one of the members that was a part of the group, and she goes by and she sees them regularly, even now with her own husband, grown children, and grandchildren. So she's just a very powerful force. And so for us, that helped us to understand a broader sense of civilization, and what humanity really was. And so she, like in California, near the airport, a very upscale neighborhood, it's called Westminster. And she organized an exchange program 1 year for us to go into Westminster and share with those children out there. So we were always learning, always, always, always
At
learning.
10 and 12, you all were doing this exchange.
Yes.
And she was an adult in the neighborhood, or she was
She
a
was a teacher
teacher.
at our school.
Ah, I see. So the other teachers weren't having it, but she decided that she was going to support you all.
Correct. Correct. And so, and that was truly a very tremendous difference for us, because our parents, as positive as they were not willing to break too many of the rules either. So if the rule said you didn't, go an inch outside this circle, then we weren't going to go. But Miss Welsh came along and she was like, oh, there's no circle. You go where you want to go, right? And so we learned that. And I believe that's where our faith started. Not necessarily in the sanctuary, in the religious houses, but with the understanding that we put our restrictions on ourselves. And as long as we know that the world is ours and we can move, then that's exactly what we're going to do. So I still treasure her, to this day for having that vision for us as well. And so as we continue to grow and to learn what it is exactly that we wanted to accomplish, we decided to go to City Hall. Tom Bradley was mayor, black man, and we said, these are our demands for our community. We want the vacant business owners to come in and clean up their property, make sure that all the trash is from around it, everything. We were in the motion of beautifying our neighborhoods, all of Watts. And they laughed at us, the council members and stuff, like, psh, you kids, go on about your business, go on back to jumping rope and hopscotch and stuff like that. And this is grown people's business. So they said, well, come back with, I'm gonna make up a number here because I'm not really accurate on the number, I don't believe. They said, come back with 10,000 signatures. of citizens from Watts, right? We came back with 20,000. Shut them up, And so they were in a place where they had to listen to us. And man, they were so flabbergasted by our seriousness and our commitment to making the city a better place to live. It's all documented in the Watts Towers, if you've ever heard of that building that's in Watts. So Simon Rodia, an immigrant, he created this the Watts Towers out of junk that he found in the streets and in the neighborhoods. And so that's where our work is documented historically, right? And so yeah, and then the riots broke, and we feel that because we were making such advances in the community, that there were certain people, certain energies, certain entities that said, "Nah, we got to stop them. You know, they gonna make that a premier neighborhood in a second." And so the Watts riots broke out, and so it stopped us and made us, take a little bit of a side turn on it. But we still are doing the work, Zoe, in 2025. Each one of the members that are still alive are still doing work in their community, are still making positive changes, words of wisdom to the young people, serving as an example to those that need someone to help them, along the way. So whatever is needed, or creating programs.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was
I need to
serious
be
about
awake
this.
during
Next,
three
I want my brain
hours.
shut. Just sleep
Off.
already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
Programs for children and for young adults, for elders, So we had the right beginning. We had the right,
Wow. So how soon did the uprising happen and after your work started? And just sort of for people who don't know, what was happening back then, like before the uprising? Well, first, how soon and what was happening? Like, set
Yeah,
the stage.
so we started in 61, and I believe that was 64, 65 when the riots broke out.
Okay, and so what was the impetus?
They, it's been said that people were afraid of the progressive energy that the citizens had picked up along the way. So we were cleaning, repairing, painting people's homes during that time. We were young teenagers, but we had paint companies like Sinclair Paint came out with a big truck full of paint and provided the supplies, and we went to work cleaning people's yards and remaking repairs, and there was nothing that they had to pay us or to do. All they had to say is I would like some help. And even those that didn't say it, if we saw it, then we went in and made the repairs and the replacements, and uplifted the house with paint and like that. And so it wasn't so much It wasn't so much what was said as it was what we were actually doing. Because we weren't out marching, we weren't out protesting. We were in the community making a difference. And we had, when we finished, the culmination was marked with an event. We called it Dancing in the Streets. So, the old people, the young people, the babies, everybody. And we did it on that street on 108th, where the Watts Towers is. And so, all this community unity, what? Y'all don't realize, y'all don't remember you in the ghetto. The ghetto is a solemn place and people don't rejoice and be happy. And so I believe, all this, not all, most of these situations that happen in the melanated neighborhoods is caused by other people's feeling threatened by the power that they see in the community. So,
And how long did it so you were what, 15 when it happened, the riots?
Right at 14, right, 14, 15, yes.
And how long did it last? Again, for people who don't know.
It seemed like it lasted forever. I think it was just a week or less because and so yeah, so this is a leeway for some other, or just put a pin right there, you guys. So as we were involved, the community, the law enforcement, the fire departments, we saw neighbors like actually being opposite one another, like law enforcement arresting their neighbor and making false accusations sometimes, and fire department saying let it burn, and things like that. So it was all these mixed emotions that was going on. It lasted entirely too long, and I think it could have been a very short duration if we would have just, said, okay, all right, everybody, and I'm talking about our group, the Student Committee for Improvement of Watts. If we would have said, okay, stop, let's stop all of this, go home, behave, and things like that, but we didn't. But we didn't antagonize it either. We didn't say, oh, they got to get out of here, and all this looting and stuff is not fair. We didn't take a side one way or the other. We were there to help people, and that's what we did.
And so, what was the, when you think about grief and when you think about trauma, how did you begin to heal after those moments, like physically or emotionally? Or was this even something, I mean, you were a teenager, was this what was going through, I guess, your mind?
Survival. See, we had fire embers to hit on top of our roof of our
You
house,
did.
of the house that we lived in. Yes, ma'am. And a lot of our members were affected one way or the other as far as safety went. And I believe, and that's why I say it's faith that has allowed us to continue the work that we're doing. The grief that you speak of, which we would call normal behavior for a human being, the trauma that we lived through, we didn't have time to stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had to keep going. We had to make sure that our lives were taken into account, and that we created barriers so that all of this couldn't get as close as was possible for it to come to us, so that we protected ourselves. Like, putting water on the roof and making sure, that the amber stayed away and, being on the lookout for each other, for the neighborhood, and things like that. So it wasn't time for grief. And when it was over, then it was time to start building back up. So never grieving. And that was one of the things that I'm going to talk about a little bit later in conjunction with my book, The A's Have It, as far as how that comes back to you because you've never grieved. You've never recognized that something happened. It's like the voyage over to America from Africa. No one has ever acknowledged the trauma, have never given it a name like the PTSD that we talk about now, but you know that people had to have those experiences. And so it's in our DNA, regardless to if we accept it, acknowledge it, label it, it's in us. And so we have learned to bury it deep on the inside someplace so that we can't see it and nobody else see it. So we put on the makeup, and dress up so that no one has any thoughts of I may be going through a process which involves trauma and grief and getting to the other side of that.
It was just business as usual. Do you remember like what was going on in your home at the time, like with your parents, what the mood was?
My stepfather was working for the Department of Water and Power, pretty prestigious job for a black man back in that day. My mom, she did janitorial work at one of the aircraft companies in El Segundo. And so they were both employed. My oldest brother was in Dominican Republic in the military, fighting whatever unjust situations they had there. My sister was just graduating in 64 from high school, and then my brother and myself, we were involved with the Student Committee for Improvement in Watts. So, yeah. But we were doing, we did a lot of unusual things at our household because we had a garden in our backyard in the city that most people just thought was so strange, but my stepfather was from Mississippi, so growing food was just real natural for him. We had chickens. We had like everything that we needed to survive. So that's where I learned those skills from, and learning how to take care of chickens, feeding them, collecting the eggs, and all of like that. So yeah, it was.
So you already had been exposed to something very different than the people around you. Did you, how did the other folks in the community treat your family?
We were well accepted, and people would come to us for advice and information, particularly my brother. A lot of the residents wanted him to run for some political office to represent Watts and things like that. So yeah.
Wow, fascinating. And so everybody just kept it moving. And when do you think you started to, because like we're talking about, many of us are carrying this ancestral trauma, right? We know about epigenetics and things like that. That things live in the body, pain and trauma. When did you first become aware of that truth?
Oh, many, many years later. It was after Rodney King. It was after a divorce. It was after leaving Los Angeles to come to Atlanta to live here. So it wasn't immediate. And so do you, I can go there and then we can come back if we need to. So my latest book is called The A's Habit: Abandonment, Abortion, Addiction. And in that book, my whole purpose was to address the abortion part. But I just couldn't do that. My spirit wouldn't let me. There would be like, there had to be something that started that, and then there had to be an action that was taken after that. What happened for me was I always have, I was going to say had, but I still have a lot of younger women that call me their godmother. So one of my goddaughters back in the late 90s, we would go a lot of places together, and because we had physical features that were very, very similar, people never questioned when we said we were mother and daughter. And it was her birthday. She was coming up on 40 years old. And I picked up the phone to call her to wish her a happy birthday. I was driving. I actually had to pull off to the side of the interstate. And I said, I don't know why the hell I'm crying like this. I was trying to call you to tell you happy birthday. So I hung up the phone, proceeded to my hair appointment, but I'm still crying, trying to understand what that was about. It was a reminder that I had violated my body and having an abortion, and she was the same age that my daughter would have been. What, so when you say the body remembers, you doggone straight. Because I have pushed this so far down, because I was told by no means will you ever utter the words of what this happened in this household to anybody. And I was a very dutiful daughter,
I see.
you know. So that's when other things started coming.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious
I need to be
about
awake.
This.
Snacks.
Next.
Three
I want my brain
hours.
shut. Just
Off.
sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
Like the Watts riots and then the Rodney King riot, because at that point I had my own modeling and entertainment company serving the children of South Central LA, was what they call the area now. You know, like if we don't call it Watts anymore, they won't remember. So that's why I always make it a point to tell people that I was born and raised in Watts, because it was still Watts when I left there. But the children, when it first broke out, were all at school. And they came straight from school to our center for the lessons. And because the majority of the children that modeled with us was of low income, they took, the school bus maybe to their neighborhood and then walked over to our facility or something, like that. So we knew as adults that we had to make sure that we was available for every child and that every child was accounted for before we closed up our building. Now, the police, all the everybody was saying, you got to vacate, you got to close up, you got to get out of here. We refuse. Like, we ain't doing nothing until every single child that comes to this facility is accounted for. And we had a circle of prayer, and everyone, all the children knew how to participate in that. And everyone was taken to their residence. Everyone got home safely. Everyone was accounted for. When I got back the next morning, the metal covering that comes down because it was a glass front for the building, it was an X had been cut through it. And they said they had to do that in order to look on the inside to make sure that there was no fire. So now there's my business that's impacted. Now that right there was horrible, because the stench, the smell, the smoke, all of that took me 30 years back, to the Watts riot. So it was that was traumatic. But again, I had to rebound as quickly as possible for those children. So then I didn't take time. I'm not going to say I didn't have time. I didn't take time to stop and grieve.
And so it wasn't until you got to the South, basically, that you began to unpack these things.
Yes, ma'am. And even now, most people tell me all the time, you're always doing something, you're always moving, you need to slow down. But Zoe, I still have that same energy, And it wasn't until just recently that I did stop long enough to figure out what is this drive that I have that keeps me going, creating something new, coming out, speaking to people, breaking it down so people could understand, not with the highfalutin words and all that, right? So that was when the words came to me that my work is all about faith. And that we don't get it. Before I left Los Angeles in 95, I had a friend. She was one of those devout churchgoers, right? And after the riots, I had done so much work to help the children to still celebrate Christmas and to have a positive outlook on life outcomes. Versus, oh, they came and burned down my place. There was no place to shop, in that part of town in South Central Manchester and Vermont. Like, everything was just burnt to the ground. So the parents that didn't have transportation, where were they going to go, to buy whatever they were able to afford? So we were able to get donations of gifts, of food, of clothes, of all everything that a child needed. And it was funny because we would go into these stores and I'd have the request, everything was professional. I got my little, here's my little business license and I can do this. And so the people would be, well, it takes us 6 months. I say the riots just happened. So I don't have 6 months to give you. Will you help me Or, well, I have to list you as a person in the newspaper that refused to support the children of this community that your business is located in. So my friend was with me. And most of them, like 95, 96, 97%, I think I might be able to help you, right? We had an overflow of everything. And she told me, she said, I heard the word faith, and I have lived my life according to my understanding of what faith is. She said, but you just live it like it's nothing. You don't go into any place with any doubts. You just be like, okay, we're gonna do this for the kids, we're gonna do that for the kids, we're gonna bring the police and the community together to have a conversation. Men folks is gonna be in there, and we did all of that. And I didn't, and I was like, but even with her telling me that, it still just recently all came together. It just all made sense that yes. And so when we're doing the work, a lot of times we don't have time to stop and figure out all the whys and the why fors and all of like that. Now, I have been fortunate that I've been able to document my life and my path. I've got six handwritten paperback books, is what I should say. And I've got 27 different ebook titles on Amazon. So I'm always writing, and it's in a very understandable language. Like I said, because I write for the 8 and 9 year old people to be able to read the book and be able to understand it. So yeah, but faith, man, that thing right there. And it's so different. It's so different lived versus just having a mental concept of what it may be. So yeah.
I'll have to edit that out. It sounds like.
That's okay, because I needed a drink of water too.
Oh, okay. Did you get it?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah, it sounded like somebody was coming up the back stairs.
Oh, okay.
So when you think about grief as a portal, what does that mean to you? Where do you think grief can take us?
I was counseling with an individual this morning whose mother made her transition recently, and she said, grief has taken her to a place that she's always needed to go, but has refused to go. Yeah. So I'm going to use her definition, because that was what I said to her. Like, all right, Renee, that's powerful right there, man. So, and I believe that is different for everybody. My mom made her transition in 2017, and to me, it's a very personal kind of grief and missing her. So I don't have to break down and cry, but I know there are times when she wakes me up in the middle of the night because she wants to talk to me. And so we had a conversation. And when we accept that grief or death, dying, are all a part of this human life experience, then we welcome it. And we may cry, we may not feel good as a result of it, but we understand it's a part of this life, living in full expression.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that this is all a part of life and it's about living in our full expression, because one of the things you're talking about are the things that we don't talk about as a community, as Black folks. And so was that a part of your book? Was it about silence? Was it about
It was about why does it happen? Why can we, as a spiritual entity, as a community of people, why do we allow it to happen and then turn as if everything is just, you know, rosy dozy, you know, like everything is just beautiful, get your coffee and donuts kind of deal, right? When in essence, it's not. When education could change a lot of the wrongs that are being perpetrated in our communities, that we choose to look the other way as if it's not there. And so I want to know why. Why do we allow this to happen? And just a side note real quickly right here, I did, and I'm still doing actually, an online conversation with people, and the app that we use is Clubhouse. And we found, or I found, that abortion is just not about a human life. It's about aborting dreams and goals and ambitions and wherever you may want to take yourself in life. And you abort it because whatever, you know, you've been told you're not good enough, smart enough, you're too Black, you're too young, you're too tall, you're too old. And so that everybody's impacted. And that was the key that we discovered in doing this daily discussion around the books and the three subtitles. And so I needed to know where it originated. And then I needed to know what happens after we have the experience. You know, do we just have the experience? And, you know, like you were saying, so what happened? When did you grieve after the riot? It was the same thing, right? So in dealing with the abortion primarily in the book, I took it from an African perspective, and I said, we understand that royalty, right? Royalty that existed in Africa was where a lot of the forcing and pulling people off of their land. Those were the people that were held captive, were the ones that had the means, that had the titles. They were royalty. And they come down to the dungeons.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2 times the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
And I've been to Africa and I've felt the energy. And they have the dungeon for the women and the dungeon for the men. And right there for the women is this tall building where all of the quote unquote individuals that oversee the women, they're handpicking women and taking them back to their rooms and raping them. And then take them back. Or if they feel like they want another one, they pick another one. How do you think those women felt? Abandoned. They weren't accustomed to this type of treatment, this type of total disrespect of their personhood. But they survived it for the most part. And then taken out the door of no return, never to come back to their homeland, to their place where they held recognition, royalty. And they came across the rivers. I would think that they felt abandoned. How else can you make it make sense and continue to live? So I'll break down abandonment in that first section. And it was very interesting, again, going to the male energy in the group, where some of the men said they felt they were abandoned when their mother ejected them from their body. You know, you'd be like, well, like, but no, that was a time of abandonment for me. I was safe and secure in her womb. I didn't want to come out. And so these men have been holding those energies and those feelings for, like, this guy that initially said it had to have been in his 50s. And he had never had the platform to be able to share that, right? To be able to express himself. And we were all just like in complete support of him, like, yeah, you know, let's talk about this some more. And just how not being not feeling visible. A lot of people go through periods of time where their parents are so busy with outside, either work or the older children or the younger children or whatever, whatever. And they don't connect with the children constantly. And so there's just so many things. And when those periods occur, when you feel abandoned, you're not really then honoring your sacred temple. You can allow all kind of negative thoughts to enter. You can allow people to abuse you physically, sexually, because you don't see your value. So that's that abandonment. And then going into the abortion, which again can be anything, not just human life. And then the addiction.
I want to go back to the abandonment
Okay.
when you talk about. I just think we have to be careful when we talk about allowing domestic violence and sexual abuse because it's not, number one, just adults. It's children, it's teenagers, it's people being abused by their parents. And so I just think, especially in this climate, certain disclaimers have to be made. Because that's such a huge part of the energy of this planet and the defilement of, children and grandmothers. And I just think that that is, I don't know, I'd love to hear more that you say about that.
I appreciate you for pulling me in on that one, you know, because I was more into the feelings. And I do agree with you Totally, just absolutely, totally. There's no percentages, just absolutely, totally. And there, yeah.
Because this is something that the work that I've done,
Right.
it's something, and in our spiritual community, it's something that I think about and have thought about a lot because sometimes it can come off sounding like victim blaming when a lot of this is the structures that have been put in place that lead people to feel abandoned in the first place.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what do you think about the role of spirituality in that, in the abandonment piece?
I believe there's a huge difference between spirituality and religion, first of all. So, spirituality is like a double doctorate, right, of life. And religion is like pre-kindergarten or something. And I don't mean that in a derogatory manner. Please, please get that. There's been so many falsehoods that we have accepted as our truths in so many different areas. Religion is just one of them, like our educational system and how it's been selectively created. And so many of the premier workers or contributors were left out. So with that understanding, spirituality is understanding that God lives within you. Within you, you're a piece of the creator's energy. And I believe that helps you to not fall victim. That when an injustice happens, that you know you deserve for it to be righted. And you take whatever means necessary in order to do that. And I believe my witnessing has been that religion would have you to just forgive with no respect of yourself, just a blanket forgive. And I believe, Zoe, that adds to the trauma because now it's not being acknowledged that it existed for you.
And that these things are by design. These things are by design. Like you were saying, you all got a committee going. You got the community together. You started making changes. Oh, look, a riot. Now you're back to square one. Now you're back to rebuilding. Oh, look, right? We know that some of these things are very much by design. So when you're talking about your book and you have your three subtitles, are you asking questions for each chapter? Like, is your goal when you were thinking about writing, was it, I want to know why abandonment happens? I want to know why abortion happens? I want to know why abuse happens? And is that for yourself to come to a sense of peace as you're like excavating?
It really was. And there's fully disclosure.
Mm.
And so it was for me to have the courage to tell the story exactly like it was. There's no fluff. There's no, we're gonna take that word out and, use this other word so that people might understand what, no, it's not, it's very clearly written, as most of my books are, So, no, I'm real proud of it. I'm real proud of it because of the healing that has taken place by those that have studied along with reading the book. So again, like with that Clubhouse group, The Authentic Voice, there were so many individuals that were able to keep digging and digging and digging and digging till they got to that trauma that they had buried so deep, but was still affecting all of their activities as of today.
Their issues with the three A's.
And so it's there's a lot of healing. Those three topics are the number three. I'm not sure which because they keep changing in our community, in as far as issues of concern is what they're called sometimes. Mental health issues are what they call sometimes. Disruptions in a normal life is what they're called sometimes. So just know, and when I did that, when I created that, it wasn't about that. It was for me.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. It's just like you're trying to figure this out.
It was for me. So yeah. Because I've done a lot of work, as you're aware, in support groups for the LGBT community, HIV and AIDS community, domestic violence, and things like that. And it's always about getting to the truth and being able to tell your truth in a way that supports whatever your feeling is as a result of that. We always, not always, sometimes we choose the role to pretty it up or use fancy language or something around it. When you, if you're hurting, damn it, you're hurting, period. Oh, I think I'm suffering a little bit. No, that ain't how that feel. It hurts. Say it hurts. And so when we can do that, when we can tell our own stories, that's when we can start the healing process.
And do you feel like people are talking about what? Because one of the things I always like to do when I'm talking with survivors of anything is what they would have liked to have seen. And that's from me coming as a survivor myself. Like, this is what I would have appreciated. This is what I would have wished would have happened. So I like to ask people those same questions. Do you find that people in the groups are like talking about what they need, like what they wish they had, like what so what kind of support are people saying they wish that they had?
And there was one guy whose mom was an alcoholic, and she literally traded his little body to the pastor of the church to get money to buy her alcohol. So for him to be able to tell his story, and he's now a grandfather and I believe a great grandfather as well, freed him up because he had been beating himself up and saying it was his fault all this time.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. cold foam cold brew coffee and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
All these years, it allows for a person to come to peace with what has happened.
Yeah.
And that peace is so important.
Yeah.
It validates a person's being to be able to tell their story.
Yeah.
And there is a network on called Black on Demand Network. It's a streaming platform. The executive producer loved my work. And so I did my first season with 10 of those individuals that came forth to tell their stories to the general public worldwide. Not one person said, well, I can't do it because my family may see it or my husband, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Well, that let me know, Zoe.
Yes.
Okay.
Energy has shifted.
Yes.
Because even with this, there's so many people that have come on at this point that the stories that they're sharing is the first time that they've ever shared it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so grateful.
Yes. And well, in writing the book, I wrote it.
Yeah.
I had someone that designed that cover with the three faces.
Yeah, I see.
He had no idea. I just asked him to do me a cover. Right. So that was that synchronicity we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
And I wrote it.
Yes.
I had a professional to put it all together for me. I never did that. You know, I'm always self-publishing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I had this awesome individual to do it. She did it.
Yeah.
I had it printed out through Amazon, like my other books. And I sat on it.
For how long?
For at least 6 months.
Why?
Then I would only give it like maybe one copy a week to people, you know, that I was real close to. Like, read my book and tell me what you think.
How come?
It was so personal.
Is it the most personal that you've written?
Yes, ma'am. Indeed. And that helped me to understand just how much more goes with just telling it. Like, yeah. You got to live it. You got to
yeah.
Own it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So that was such a revelation for me. I was like, oh boy, here I am thinking I didn't, you know, did it. And it's really an awesome piece of work because it is so honest.
I can't wait to read it. What, so when you get to the addiction part, is that also like how you were saying it could be aborting your dreams and this and that? Is the addiction part encompassing as well?
Not as much. It's more scientific, the reasons why and what is the category of an addiction and where help is available for, you know, if that's something that you would like to be on the other side of. And so, yeah. Because, you know, so much of the things that we do become addictive behaviors for us anyway, to avoid facing whatever it is that's right there in front of us. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know that in the work, you know, with the counseling, with the groups and things like that, I would always tell them they didn't understand it, but it was my own personal story, you know.
Yeah.
I know the reason why you get high all the time. Hell, you don't want to look at some of the stuff that happened in your life, man. I'm good with it. Oh, Miss Sandy, how you know? I'm like,
So in your work, and you're in Clubhouse, and you're in the world,
yes.
You're doing all the things. Do you feel like you're seeing a healthy shift in
Yes.
the willingness of Black people to tell their stories?
Yes. Yes. They just need an example, like everything else.
Mm.
Who's doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And when they see you, like,
mm-hmm.
oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I had a young lady, I did an event this past Sunday. And like I said, you know, I've got 6 books, and she may be in her 30s, maybe 30s, maybe 40s. I'm saying 30s though.
Okay.
And she, as I explain each one of the books, she's like, I just love how you broke that down. Because most people don't talk to me in that manner. Like, I can understand what they're saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
in an educated tone. So she bought all 6 of the books.
Wow.
I know. I was like, you know what? Here's my card. Call me for whatever. Whenever you get someplace you need some additional discussion, just give me a buzz.
Yeah.
So they are looking for it, Zoe. They are looking for it. Hungry for it.
Acceptance.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's self-acceptance. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's why I held on to this. Like,
yeah. You didn't want people to.
I wrote it.
You did. And then you sat on it for 6 months.
So, yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. But, man, it gave me such a new awareness, though, you know. So I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. So you've come to peace now.
Yes.
Feeling.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you talk to when you're on that second chapter on the abortion piece, did you talk to people who terminated pregnancies that did not feel a sense of guilt, or felt like this is where their life took them? Or
I did, actually, even afterwards, you know, even after the book came out and having the discussions, and had discussions with the men that drove the women to the clinics and things like that too, because that's something we don't consider, right? But they also, not necessarily the father of the child, but just a male friend, and them being involved in that whole action and what that meant to how that affected them, you know. So I'm telling you, there's so many variations to this thing. You know, for me, I look at one direction, like, okay, this is how it happened, A, B, C, D, and it's over. But no, man, because, you know, it's going this way and that way, up here, down there. It's going all kind of directions because of the various individuals that are involved. So it's not that clear cut. It's not that clear cut. Everybody brings their own personal background to the table.
Interesting. So what do you think now, like, what's next for you in this process?
So I'm continuing with the TV.
Okay.
And we ranked number one talk show for the network for our season 1. So
of course
really
you did. Of course you did.
That.
Of course you did. And how can people find that again?
It's a Black On Demand network, and it's through Roku or Amazon Fire.
Okay.
And so I've done my season two already.
Oh.
It's a little lighter than the first one.
Okay.
It was, you know, going through the book and the various personal accounts were it was pretty deep, you know, it was pretty deep. But it had to have really been meaningful for the majority of people if we rank number one. So,
Yeah.
and I'm just sitting right now, Zoe, like, okay, where do I go from here? How do I make an impact? How do I bring this information, like the young lady that I talked with on this past Sunday, you know, like, how do I break it down so that people understand the importance of each one of the books? Because each one of the books is about a very dear subject. It's about real life, and it's written in a way where you can just find yourself in it. You know, like, yeah, I've done that. Oh yeah. Oh, my sister did that. Oh, my brother, you know, like that. So, I'm still searching. I'm still searching for where I'm to go. So,
And how can people support you on your journey?
I have website, a website. Is SR Authentic Ascension .com.
Okay.
Donations, purchase of books. We have t-shirts that represent those three topics from the A's Habit. It's the only one of the books that have merchandise associated with right now. And yeah, donation bases or methods are on there as well. So
Great.
thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and we'll make sure that the folks have it, that it's in the show notes so people can get it. What about speaking? Do you have any speaking planned, or are you available for speaking if people want to bring you out?
I am available. I'm actually from the same occasion event on Sunday. I'm working with one lady that has a men's ministry. She want me to come and speak with them. And then another individual spoke to me about coming to do a program at the church. And I'm always involved with the holistic lifestyle. So I have several books, a couple of books that deal with that from the nutritional part, the spiritual part, and just coming to terms with, you know, how to get the best out of you according to your rules. I'll say it like that. Yeah.
So as we're starting to sort of wrap up, I'm curious about when you're working with people who might be stuck and that stuckness that lives in their bodies, how do you help folks sort of carry their grief with more grace?
I give them permission. Like, you have a right. The young lady whose mom recently transitioned, I was sharing with her this morning because she was saying she was in that grieving because she has stayed really, really busy, you know. And so now the funeral was a few weeks ago, all the house have been cleaned out, you know, things like that. So now she has to face it. So I told her, I said, because she said something to the effect that she wanted to get beyond it. I'm like, no. I say, celebrate wherever you are. If it's grief, celebrate it. If it takes you into a pity party, get dressed up. Get you some champagne and have you the best doggone pity party that you can have. Because then, once you recognize it and say, hey, me and you buddies, it's going to go on. That's all it needs is recognition. So, yeah. We've been given all these emotions for a reason. You know, we're not always supposed to be happy, go lucky, you know, la ha. No, man. It's life is to experience.
So celebrate each transition point. And what about anger? You know, there's a lot of people that are angry right now. What would you say?
They're angry because they can't, they don't understand.
Yeah.
And we don't take time. We don't take time to help a person to go through that because, and I'm working with a elder. She's 90 something. And I believe that she's caught in anger. And she wants someone else to heal her. And I keep telling my beloved, no. I said, we can offer you different things, but you are the only one that can heal yourself. And she just sometimes she gets real riled up, you know, and then sometimes she'll be okay with it. But we each have the power, the intelligence, the knowledge, the wisdom to heal ourselves. And we're the only ones that can do it.
It takes a minute to get to that understanding. It takes, we were bathing in that conversation when I met you at, Hillside. Like that was like, we lived and breathed that conversation. And so maybe more introspection into those things because I feel like if we are paying attention, I don't know, maybe people are busy. You know what? People are busy. Never mind. People are working. People are doing, because I'm like, well, if we're paying attention to history, if we're like, we're not going to be surprised by anything that's happening. But people are busy. That's what I have to always come back to.
But to your point, though, Zoe, and just taking this as an example,
Yes.
so if you can read it anyway, that middle word is abortion.
Yes.
So this whole book could have been about that and anger and pissed off because of this, and there wasn't any sex education discussed in the house and taught at the school and the older women in the community, and then the men took it, whatever. Could have stayed on that being pissed off, just upset. But you sit, like you just said, you sit in that until you find other pieces to it that make it all make sense.
To connect the dots, but
Yes.
we have to sit down to connect the dots.
Yes.
We're not going to connect the dots if we're busy.
Yes.
And that's the other conversation that I've been having on this podcast. Like so many folks, like you're saying, like you just went on with things. It's an uprising. We get out the mops, we get out the brooms, and we just go to work.
Exactly.
And that's what we're programmed to do under capitalism, is just to continue working, and especially as melanated people, we just keep going. But that time is over.
It is. It truly is. And it's just so evident everywhere you go. I mean,
That paradigm is not sustainable. This has been so good, Reverend Sandy. So, what do you want to sort of leave this part of the conversation with?
Life goes on. You will have a full range of experiences. None is any better than the other. They're all equal. It's how you look at it. You have the power to heal yourself in any and all capacities. Like the host just said, when we be still and go to that inner place, that place of power, of strength, of courage, of faith, of truth, when we connect there, we have the courage to live life in its totality. And we get to improve our lives and the lives of others, of those that are around us. So smile. Keep it light. Trust yourself. You have the power to do whatever it is you choose to do. Be blessed.
One thing you're grateful for.
I am grateful for my stepping out and beginning to write, because our history, as we know, is being removed. But as long as I continue to add to the Library of Congress my books, our history is never lost.
Okay.
So thank you for that.
Yes, thank
Yes.
you.
Thank you. Oh my God, this has been so amazing.
Thank you. Oh my, I could have asked a million more questions. Thank you so much for
I'll
sharing.
Come back. I'll come
yes,
back.
Yes, you have to come back. So the reason, folks, that I don't have the book is because, as you know, I am not in the United States. And so I was supposed to go home. I didn't go home. So that's why I don't have the book yet. Because, you know, I like to read the book before the conversation. But I didn't go to the States. So, but by the time you come on the next time, I mean, who knows, you probably have another book by then, but I will definitely, I will definitely have read it by then. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for, yeah, for this great conversation. And so, as always, folks, if you felt something during this episode, which I know you did, I want to hear from you. What part of Sandy's story resonated with you? What grief might you still be carrying? And what healing are you ready to claim? So share it with me, and who knows, your story may end up on a future podcast. And I am Zoe Flowers. And remember, none of us deserve to be on the brink alone. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Thank you so much again.